Welcome back, y'all. It is the Friday edition of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. I'm Maggie, and my special guest this half hour is the principal economist for the Roosevelt Institute. His name is Mike Matowetz. So happy to have you, Mike. So we were talking about the fact that when we think about the non-core, and we're using little buzzwords here, the non-core products
that
we buy, right? The most of, meaning food and gas, which are the things that the vast majority of Americans sort of, it's the lens through which we understand the economy is how much does it cost me to feed my family? You can maybe throw housing in there as well. But food, gas, housing, when that's expensive, we think things are not going well or too expensive relative to what our expectations are. And we've been talking about the fact that both in grocery and in oil and gas production, there has basically been increasingly monopolistic and behaviors, consolidation, some significant deregulation in the oil and gas industry. But all of this has led to an opportunity for there to be wink, wink, nudge, nudge price fixing or price setting, right? Like, oh, it's not actually price fixing, but it looks like it. It quacks and has feathers, as well as, frankly, price gouging. So we know that there lies some solutions in there. But I wanted to ask you this question, because this is the thing that I think a lot of people don't put together. What is the relationship between tax policy, when we talk about corporate tax rates and income tax rates, especially if we can just separate us all into the 95% of us who work for a living and earn a paycheck that is somewhere south of, say, like $400,000, $500,000 a year, and the ultra wealthy or the top 5%. What does tax policy have to do with inflation? How do these interact?
Yeah, I think this is actually another one too, where we have like a lot better data now than probably 20, 30 years ago when like the last time we had a serious debate about this happened. And, you know, I think especially this recovery, you know, one of the reasons you saw house prices go up so much was that people who had like cash to go buy a spare house just kind of did it. And, you know, that's great. I think everyone should have a beach house. That's the dream. most of us have one house, and people adding a second makes it harder for most of us to buy one. And that's one of the reasons that rents have gone up. You could imagine that if you didn't have an extra $400,000 or $500,000 sitting around to pay cash for a beach house, that, you know, something like that could be a pretty big difference. And I think this is like, when you look at where the inflation happened, like, yes, there were the things that we've talked about where it's like, yeah, there was bird flu that pushed up egg prices. Yes, there were, you know, a series of supply chain disruptions that mattered a lot for the oil and gas industry that pushed up, you know, the cost of filling up a car. But like a lot of the housing type stuff, we had a big lack of building for a couple of years. And then we also just had like a lot of people with money to burn who really did buy like second houses. You know, you could imagine that it's not that onerous to set tax policy such that people don't, you know, throw off enough money from their high income, high paying jobs to like decide to just buy a spare house, right?
I call it over consuming relative to what other working people need to consume, right? Those are some of the comparisons we need to start to try to make. Because, I mean, when you're talking about price fixing, that we've also seen evidence that some of that is happening in the housing markets as well, right? As more and more private equity firms buy up large, like try to basically monopolize housing stock in various regions, they're able to set literally market rents that are above market, right? Because they are the price setter. Sorry to jump
in. I think housing is a great place to talk about this too, because again, we're talking about there should be a formal term for the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, don't read my text price fixing, yeah. Right? So, you know, we've seen a lot of like algorithmic pricing now where it's like you have a bunch of landlords in one place sort of going to the same data vendor to be like, what should I set my interest rate or what should I set my rent increase at next year? And, you know, if they were just asking one or two people, that'd be one thing. But we're all report, like they're all reporting to the same place, and we're all paying the costs that that thing reports out. So, you know, it has this nice way of saying, like, I'm not the one who price fixed. I just paid the subscription fee that
that allowed us all to price fix together.
Yeah, they just told me what I should charge.
Magically. And we know, and for folks that may be listening, we know that this happened. You can check it out. You can use the Google Texas housing price fixing. Just go check it out. You can find the articles on this. We've got about 2 minutes left, Mike. I wanted to ask you this. What should the Fed be doing right now in terms of inflation and employment? These are the two things that they try to balance with their interest rate policy. And secondly, to touch briefly on the importance of a central bank's independence.
Yeah, we really like an independent central bank. One of the things we liked a lot about it for the last recovery was that we were able to say, you know, let's not do a really long time with unemployment, or let's not wait for everyone in Congress to hold hands and figure out the perfect policy. Let's do the right thing. And then, you know, if we do too little or we do too much, the Fed can kind of clean it up for us because they're independent. I worry a lot about what's going to happen if we're, you know, we're not doing the right thing there. And then, yeah, I think like we're probably going to see the Fed come off things a little bit more now that we are sort of on the backside of inflation. Whether that looks like we're going to cut things a half point or a quarter point for the next few meetings, I'm not really sure. But interest rates are clearly on the way down just because inflation is on the way down.
Yes. Folks, that's Mike Matowitz, the principal economist at the Roosevelt Institute, a friend of mine and now a friend of all of you. Thanks so much for sharing some of your incredible knowledge with all of us. I love it. I hope you stay on the Data Users Advisory Committee for the BLS. We rely on that data. It is the source from which we gain our insights. Speaking of which, the Bureau of Labor Statistics needs to stay pretty independent as well, because the data matters. Garbage in, garbage out.
We love them.
That is the only way economists can do what they do. Folks, that's going to do it for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Thanks so much to Mike Matowitz. We're going to come back after the bottom of the hour with Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. We may even talk about some of our favorite horror movies to take us off into this near Halloween weekend. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.